Tim Versalotti is the director of the Western New England University poll, professor of political science, brilliant, in my opinion, and most others. And Tim, Massachusetts, my home state. I live in Great Barrington. I got to ask you a couple of questions. On a regular basis, blue state Massachusetts, perhaps the bluest of the blue Democrats, regularly elects Republican governors and others. How come?
That's a good question. Thanks for your kind words in the introduction, Alan.
They're all true.
Thank you. One of the aspects of the governor's office, at least here in Massachusetts, is that when campaigns come around, these are not driven by social issues. They are policy-driven. They are driven by competence or assessments of competence. So it's really more a campaign based on resume, based on policy than it is on ideology. And so the kinds of Republican governors that Massachusetts tends to elect are governors that I wouldn't necessarily say they're moderates, but they're not from the far right, and they're not driven by the kinds of polarizing social issues, same-sex marriage, abortion rights, that we see in other parts of the country.
So if a governor in Massachusetts ever decides they want to run for higher office, they're probably out of luck. Because they, well, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Just take a look at the litany of Massachusetts governors who have tried and failed, Michael Dukakis, Mitt Romney. It's hard to thread that needle. You govern one way in Massachusetts, and it's very difficult to pitch yourself to the rest of the country because the rest of the country is not like Massachusetts.
I have a different theory, Tim Versalotti. You'll pardon me for offering it to one as astute as you, but my theory is that Massachusetts Democrats don't like it when the party puts people up that they don't like, either bums or people they consider to be inept, and it has nothing to do with policy. It has to do with personality.
Well, there is some truth to that. If we're talking in particular about the 2014 cycle,
sure,
with former Attorney General Martha Coakley, there was still quite a bit of residual bad feeling toward Martha Coakley for letting the Senate seat slip away in the 2010 special election when she ran against Scott Brown to serve out the remainder of Ted Kennedy's term. So it can be driven in part by personality as well. Let's point out, though, in a 2014 cycle where the rest of the country saw a big Republican wave, Coakley only lost by about a point and a half.
Yeah, but that's in a blue state, a very blue state.
Yes, a blue state, but again, a state that is comfortable from time to time electing Republican governors. So I would partly concede your point about personality, but I think that's one of many factors that explains why the state from time to time will elect Republican governors.
Okay, fair enough, Tim Versalotti, but then we go to congressional seats. And in congressional seats, there's no fooling around. Massachusetts voters understand the distinction between getting a semi-liberal Republican type in as governor and allowing the Republican hierarchy in Washington to control the United States Congress. They just don't do it. They won't go for it.
No question about it. And I think that speaks in part to the different policy issues that are in play in terms of what comes up before the House and the Senate versus the kinds of issues that the governor deals with in Massachusetts. I think also it has to do, at least with in terms of the House, with the boundaries of the district. Even though our last redistricting after the 2010 election was done in a way that we saw two incumbents drawn into one district out here in Western Mass, and so it wasn't entirely driven on a partisan basis, but still, these are districts where it's very difficult for Republicans to win. The two districts where they have their best shots, the 6th district in roughly northeastern Massachusetts, and then the 9th district, which includes the Cape, they have their best shot, but there you would need a particular mix of personalities in order for Republicans to take those seats. And we just haven't seen it yet.
So in other words, blueism, you know, the Democrats are capable in somewhat brainy Massachusetts of making distinctions between voting for a congressional candidate and voting for a governor, and don't see the anti-congressional bias goes over to the governor.
Yeah, I think in part it has to do with the different sets of issues that each office is dealing with. Mm-hmm. It also has to do with the cycle. House seats are up every 2 years, and so the 2016 cycle, there will be much higher Democratic turnout in Massachusetts
when Hillary or Bernie are running. A lot of people will turn out to vote, and I think that's right. Now, Baker, in 2018, the governor, the somewhat liberal Republican governor, I wouldn't say he's a flaming liberal, but I would say he's to the left of the Republican Party. Baker will certainly have an opponent of some kind. Who are you talking about?
Yeah, the bench, this is an interesting question, because the bench for the Democratic Party is really in flux right now. Some of the names that we see out there are members of Congress, either in their first or second term. So Joe Kennedy III. Is one name that's put out there. Seth Moulton, who's currently in his first term from the 6th District, his name is put out there. And then a couple of mayors, Kim Driscoll, the mayor of Salem, Seti Warren, the mayor of Newton. But none of these folks, save for Kennedy, because of his last name, are really household names at this point. And so there will be and it'll be interesting to watch right after the 2016 presidential what sort of positioning occurs among the Democrats. But there's no one obvious choice for governor at this point. We've got a smattering of state legislators as well. Ben Downing, state senator from Western Mass, is a name that's in the mix, was in 2014 as well. And so it'll be interesting to see.
That's interesting. I had a friend who once dragged me to a speech, a coffee for a young state assemblyman. And having been bred in New York politics, I said, come on, he can't run for governor. Forgetting that there's a big difference between New York and Massachusetts. That guy became Michael Dukakis, of course, and he won his gubernatorial seat. So Massachusetts, in New York State, if you don't come from New York City, if you're a Democrat, forget it. Just forget about it. But in Massachusetts, people get a shot.
They do. They do. And part of it is in the nominating process. We have both parties, Republican and Democratic Party, have nominating conventions in the spring where, depending on the amount of support you have, you could simply win the nomination there, avoid a primary in September, and just be up and running a few months before your opponent.
Well, why would you avoid a primary? I mean, you have a right to get signatures in primary, don't you?
What happens is, if the party convention results in a nomination where one candidate gets more than 85% of support, support from more than 85% of the delegates, there's no primary. And so
that's unbelievable. I did not know that. Congratulations,
yep.
Tim. You really taught me something this time.
Oh, happy to know.
So that seems awfully undemocratic, doesn't it?
Well, both parties do it, and it is a way of hitting the ground running, consolidating your fundraising, consolidating the party behind a candidate. It's hard to pull off. I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but that mechanism is in place.
Tim Bersalotti is the director of the Western New England University poll. He's brilliant. Professor of political science, makes the difficult seem explainable, and also teaches old hands new stuff. Thank you, Tim. Love having you with us.
I enjoyed it, Alan. Thank you.